You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
How comfortable are you saying what you think in the privacy of your own home? Do you believe someone could use what you say in your home to sue you for libel and defamation? Given a recent decision of the BC Court of Appeal, your right to speak your mind in your own home may be much less secure than you think. On the line to discuss this is Michael Vaughan. She is policy director for the BC Civil Liberties Association, and we've reached her in her home. Good morning, Michael, and welcome back to the Red Eye program.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
This case concerns a resident of Vernon, Mr. Asens, and involves a dispute that originated over sewage pipes and the fees for that service. Could you just give us the basic sort of outline and context before we get into the legal significance of it?
Sure. As you say, this is a story that takes place in Vernon, BC, and there is a private utilities owner, as I understand it, who's grandfathered in for the provision of sewer services, etc., in this particular jurisdiction. And there had been community disputes, I gather, about the utility rates. So there was already a little bit of foment in this community. Jack and Judy Asen were among the residents of this jurisdiction who were concerned. And so that kind of sets the tone. Now the utility owner, I'm assuming this is something that we can say here, has rather a propensity for suing people. And there was certainly a sense that people who were coming up against the utility owner were putting themselves rather in the way of the utility owner taking them to court in some fashion. So that's the backdrop. This is something that was made known in the community.
So there's a dispute. The fees are, it seems, at least as it's been reported elsewhere, are about double what other municipalities pay, and the residents are, a few of them anyway, are grieving this and petitioning the city about those fees.
Exactly. So one of the myriad of mind-blowing aspects of this case is that when we first get to court, because the Asens are sued on a number of levels for defamation, one of the things that the utility owners go after is their actual letter to the regulatory body. So this is citizens complaining to the government, a regulatory body, and they actually go after that as a possible means of defaming the utilities owner. Okay, well, happily, there's very few happy portions of this story, but happily, the court of first instance throws that out.
Okay, so they're sued for libel because some of them have written to the utility board.
Right, so that doesn't fly.
All right, what does fly?
Well, at the BC Supreme Court, where this matter is first heard, nothing flies, and that's where you would hope that the situation would land. But the utilities owner, as I say, being well-versed in all matters court-wise, decides to appeal. So here we go to the BC Court of Appeal, and the Court of Appeal decides that statements, as you've outlined, made by Mr. Asen in his own home to a private detective who was misrepresenting himself as a would-be neighbor. Someone shows up and says, "Hi, you know, I'm interested in possibly moving into this area, but I heard there's been a controversy." Well, Mr. Asen, being a good Samaritan, decides to inform this would-be resident that indeed there is a controversy and discusses the matter with him. This is secretly tape recorded and is used against him as one of the aspects of the claim against him. And the Court of Appeal decides, yes, indeed, that's defamatory.
So your stranger comes, he knocks on the door, you let him in. talks about what the problem wants to know because he wants to move in the neighborhood, the problems around it. I'd read somewhere that just before the private detective, who I assume was hired by the utility owner.
Indeed.
That the utility company had, or the owner had sent a surveyor to say, well, because you're complaining and because you haven't paid the, you're holding back part of the payment as part of your protest, I'm going to dig up your sewage line and you're not going to have any sewage here. So I'm sending a surveyor. And right after the surveyor, then comes the detective as the supposed interested stranger in moving into the neighborhood. So you sort of, it seems a circumstance where the intensity of the dispute is raised, and then the tape recording goes on, and knowing that perhaps the person is really hot and bothered by this threat of having no sewage system.
It's quite astounding, as you say, about the background to this. None of this makes it into the court decision, but in my discussions with Mr. Aysen, he has outlined exactly what you say. Just prior to the private detective showing up misrepresenting himself as a would-be neighbor, there had been a number of people walking all over the Aysen's property, marking it up with orange paint, letting them know that they were planning to remove their sewage services on the basis of their rates dispute.
Well, I could see a person being quite, in Mr. Aysen's situation, being quite frustrated and aggravated and so on. But why did the Court of Appeal consider that he had engaged in libelous comments? What was their reasoning?
Oh, dear. Now you're really putting me on the spot, because I have to say, having read that decision, I really don't understand on what basis they've come to this. It is, I suggest, a little mystifying. Right now, the laws of defamation in British Columbia, and we've said this as an association for a very long time, need a serious overhaul. When you have what are called SLAPs, strategic lawsuits against public participation, where essentially the whole point of the lawsuit is some big moneyed interest is looking to shut somebody else up, knowing that you don't have a lot of resources to get counsel to go to court, that this is very stressful and astronomically expensive and all of those things, so it's a deterrent. Defamation is the tool of choice for SLAPs. And part of the reason is that it is, the onus is entirely on the person who is being sued to prove one of the narrow exemptions to defamation, and you don't actually have to point out that you've been damaged in any way by what has allegedly been said or published. So it is, it's a very, very flexible tool, and in part, if with respect, the Court of Appeal is not wrong, and we might find, if this were to go up to the Supreme Court of Canada, that indeed the Supreme Court of Canada might disagree with the finding of the BC Court of Appeal. It certainly wouldn't be the first time. So, but as we're situated at the moment, it's possible. I don't understand the reasoning how they found that. But if that is possible, the law is an ass. Clearly, we've got a horrific situation here where something needs to change. And I have some ideas of what could change. But even looking at it from the point of view of, say, the Trespass Act, I mean, the mind-blowing aspect of this is, you've invited somebody into your house under false pretenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're a hired gun to entrap you in your own home for a conversation that you're having. We look at the law on this, I don't think we should lose the sense of what can you imagine. I feel like I'm sitting in my apartment right now and having a conversation on the phone. If there's a bug in my apartment, if I'm, you cannot secretly tape record somebody in their own home having a conversation. But this seems so finely parsed on the line of what should be allowed. No, it just shouldn't be allowed.
So will it go to the Supreme Court of Canada?
I don't know absolutely for sure. I certainly wish it would. You can imagine that the ASINs to this point have largely represented themselves, and very ably. Mr. ASIN is a retired Justice of the Peace, so he would have a better sense of court procedures than most people. Even so, the astronomical burden on just regular citizens to try to change unjust laws, it's almost too much to ask.
We've had the, to my mind, a parallel situation in Powell River, where residents were complaining about the mayor's policy, and the mayor sued them in a similar way to silence criticism of his role as mayor. Clearly, and a slap, as you say, is something to intimidate public participation in matters that are of public concern.
Well, yes, and that one also should raise eyebrows in the most severe angles. In that case, it's the government actually saying what you say to us is potentially defamatory. Now, again, our association has been involved in that, and our reading of the case law is that's just not on. The government cannot sue citizens complaining to it for libel. So that's our position, and we believe the case law supports us, and we would hope that a court would find that as well. But even the sheer act of making the threat or making gestures in that direction, you can understand has, well, it's called libel chill, right? It backs off, very successfully will back off people who are not well enough resourced to take on that astronomical battle.
Well, you said you had some ideas as to what would be a positive response to these efforts to use disproportionate power and advantage of money wealth to intimidate public participation. Elaborate on that.
Okay. Well, as I say, the laws of defamation, I think, would be one place to look. And I think that the key to unhooking those is to actually have the person who's bringing the suit have to prove damage. Not just, you know, my reputation has been sullied, but actually something that has happened to them as a consequence. I think that would be a very progressive and much needed reform to the law of defamation. But further to that, British Columbia did actually have, for a very short amount of time, a law that was designed to essentially slap back if there was enough indication that the criteria for a slap was met. The onus essentially shifted to the organization or person who was bringing the suit to demonstrate that it wasn't frivolous and vexatious and attempting to essentially quash public participation. So that bill was brought in the last days of the last NDP government, and it was called an Act to Protect Public Participation. And it was essentially, we refer to it colloquially as slapback legislation. Within very short order of the Liberals forming the government, they rescinded that. They repealed it. They said it wasn't necessary, that courts know what they're doing, it was redundant, et cetera, all of which has proven, and we would have guessed initially, to be absolutely untrue. So reviving that would be a huge step in the right direction.
That anti-slap or slap-back legislation exists in many American jurisdictions, and I know it was brought in as a bill in Quebec, though it hasn't yet been passed by the legislature, but the Charest government did bring it in. What are the possibilities in British Columbia of gaining that kind of legislation advance so that people's participation was more protected?
Well, it's certainly something that we would be very happy to take up with the Attorney General, but based on Mr. Opal's comments in the ASIN case, the media around the ASIN case, we better not hold our breath unless blue's a good color on us. Wally Opal says essentially he backs the earlier rescission of the slapback legislation and basically says we're good to go here. There's no problem. And that is, well, I was going to say disappointing. That's not really a strong enough term, but I can't think of one. Disappointing times 10, put it that way.
Okay. So this is, in fact, something that requires a fairly large public discussion and a major campaign, I would anticipate.
And there may well be one coming down the pike.
Let's hope for it.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Michael.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Michael Vaughan. She is the policy director for the BC Civil Liberties Association.